Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go back to the roots. I wanna go back to the roots. Let's get back to the roots.
Even though sometimes was an all day, electric kitchen all day, go sing cause you okay, they want to live out with it, we did to survive.
I'm a night child, I am your child.
We're going to be speaking about ancestral revenge. But I just want everybody to know that in 2022, it's all about you, okay? It's all about you. So these messages are coming through hot and fast and steady, and it's about you, okay? Now, when we talk about ancestral revenge, we're talking about something that many people would be familiar with from a Christian perspective. In Christianity, you know, there is something that is called generational curses, and it's part and parcel mixed in with the gospel according to Christ in the Christian sense of the word. So we're going to be kind of going back and forth between African spirituality and Christianity, because there is a difference, there are differences and there are similarities for the two things, the two ways of looking at ancestral revenge and looking at generational curses, which would be part and parcel one of the reasons why there is ancestral revenge going on. The generational curses is intertwined with it. It's part of it, okay? So I hope you all had a safe holiday, you know, with the Christmas and all those good things, and that, you know, the new year caught you in good spirits and it's looking bright for you, okay? So before we get into talking about the similarities and differences with Christianity and African spiritualism in terms of ancestral revenge, I would like to share with you a post that was made on Facebook. And that post in itself is entitled Ancestral Revenge, from the one written by the one Kofi Tzaghli. And Kofi Tzaghli is a native Togolese voodoo practitioner, among other things. And he wrote something that is very profound, and, you know, I need everybody to have an open mind because, you know, I'm not bashing Christianity in general, but, you know, certain views are different from when you're practicing African spirituality. So Kofi Tzaghli writes, he says, nowadays, because of a tendency called modernity, it is very easy for African youths, and he's talking about his own people there in, you know, in Africa, African youths to convert to Islam or Christianity. And that is a true fact, you know, because we have like maybe one or less than 1% of the people who fully are into their traditional practices, the practices of their ancestors that are purely about that, and they're not mixed in with Islam and Christianity. So when you look at Islam and Christianity in Africa, you can find that it's spread all over. And both when it comes to the major religions, those two are the leading two, Islam and Christianity. And this is not to say that the people don't practice their traditional roots as well, even though they're Muslim and even though they're Christian, okay? So, but I'm talking that 1% that is totally, strictly traditional-minded people. So we have, he says, these youths, they convert to Islam and Christianity and completely abandon our original spiritualities, okay? Bad mouthing about ancestors, and I know a lot of people, they don't have it down with their ancestors at all, you know, part and parcel because of Jesus, okay? But we're not going to get into that right away. But he says their bad mouthing about the ancestors is the favorite pastime of those converted Africans. And anything relating to ancestors, it seems as primitive, right? They look at it as primitive. He says, one may be eager to condemn Nollywood or Gollywood movies, you know, from Ghana or from Nigeria, and other structures put in place by the system to incite Africans to destroy their own civilizations. Sorry, I am not going to condemn any of those structures. If you are foolish enough to believe in those very bad quality movies, you must be ignorant, and nobody is responsible for your ignorance. I am saying so because the day they face the consequences of degenerating ancestral worship, some of them become clever very fast and ask for help, while the others continue blindly going their dangerous way and die dramatically. This is his words, okay? Not mine. He says now, and this is in bold print, all caps, the scary truth about ancestral worship defamation is simple. If you defame your ancestors, they will abandon you. and you won't have any spiritual protection at all if you engage in any spiritual battle against your own ancestors. They will fight you back. In other words, they will help your enemy to fight you. I am saying if you're used to demonizing your ancestors, you are already paying for it. And, you know, I mean, he has a valid point, because I know a lot of people, you know, they don't think about their ancestors at all. And, you know, a lot of people, even because, like, they don't like the ritual aspect of dealing with their ancestors, you know? You know, like how the Africans do and how we are taught to do in African spirituality, you know, having an ancestor altar, placing, you know, photos and memorabilia of our ancestors there, placing flowers and water, you know, placing food offerings, even liquor, wine, whatever, there. And, you know, talking to our ancestors when we have a problem, you know. I mean, actually going there, talking to them, or actually doing a spiritual mass for them where we call them up, okay? Now, some people in other persuasions will call that, quote-unquote, devil worship. I mean, this is your ancestors now. You call, you say, devil worship because you want to perpetuate them as if they're still around you. And that is the truth according to our belief. They don't really go anywhere. And even in Christianity, they kind of said that. They of course, if you're a Christian and believe in heaven and hell, you know, they're those bad ones, whoever are the bad, quote unquote, they're in purgatory somewhere waiting for the day of rapture, right? And everybody else is waiting for the day of rapture to go up and ascend into heaven. African spirituality is somewhat different from that. We don't believe in a hell, per se. You know, there's, especially from Yoruba thought, there's no hell. Okay, we all came from heaven, and when we finish our sojourn here, we go back to heaven. There's no hell for us. Anyway, so he continues to say, why am I so sure that alienation is not punishment-free? And he's talking about alienation of the ancestors. He said that conviction comes from a series of divinations that he looked into it. I have been doing for people in different situations which show that they are victims of ancestral revenge. And I understand that quite well. I'd like to interject here. I remember when I went home to my mother, my mother country, my mother island, St. Thomas Virgin, as I went home. And the main focus was perpetuating the ancestors of the land. So I had a big feast, you know, with drummers and everything, and a prayer mass, and we sat down and we called up the ancestors, and, you know, we told them we are sorry, we gave offerings and all of these type of things. And why was that important? Because in the islands where I come from, there are many killings. There are many killings of the young people, killing each other over foolishness, you know, like turf wars and things. And this is a very little tiny island. It's like, you know, a dot on the map, on the world map, you know, one little dot. And to have the amount of killings, you know, going on there is just ridiculous. So we know that it's an ancestral issue. Sometimes the killings are people who may be related to you, and you don't find out that maybe you murdered somebody that is your family until after when it's time for the funeral, you know. And this, you know, this is what prompted me to do that big ceremony for, you know, to perpetuate the ancestors. And I hope and pray that other people from the islands are now listening, that they too can continue to do that. And that's just one of the issues. Okay, one of the issues. Another issue with the people is that we find that a lot of the people, especially those indigenous to the island, those born and raised there by parents who were born and raised, by grandparents who were born and raised, that type of thing. And even, you know, just the people there in general are, there are too many for the small island. The too many people are losing their minds. I mean, really, you know, we have a term for them. We call them off men and off women, meaning that they're out of their minds and they're like on the street and, you know, and we know they've been like that for years and years. Nobody, their family members, nobody can get them to have rehabilitation or anything. Okay, they've just been like that. They live like that. They die like that. And it's sad, you know, that this type of issue is also going on there. And I could, even in, when I was in Togo, I saw the same kind of thing. I saw people, some people, and there are different reasons why they're like that. I'm not saying per se that it's ancestral revenge that made them like that, but there are people who, you know, are off people, and you could clearly see that they've, you know, their faculties, their mental faculties is no good. They walk naked, they don't bathe, all these type of things. Anyway, Kofi Tzadli continues to say that when he knows that the punishment, that by alienating your ancestors, that there is punishment, that conviction comes from a series of divinations, he said, and he has done these divinations for people in different situations, which show that they are victims of ancestral revenge. The divination show many types of problems converted Africans face, different relationships or marriage problems, infertility, losing jobs after jobs, not having babies, dying children die, health issues, miscarriages, etc. The prescription in this case is a series of ceremonies aiming at calming down the ancestors. The first step is to pour libation for the ancestors. The objective is to tell them you are aware of being guilty for dishonoring them and that you are ready to seek for their forgiveness. The second step is a divination to know what to do in order to appease them. The final step is to do the necessary sacrifices to make ancestors drop their weapons against you. As long as you are insolent, ancestors will get your... Oh, wow. I don't want to say that part. He just did, you know, like, a, you know, something, you know, against Muslims and Christians. But I don't want to say that. Because, you know, I know people hold on to their faith, you know, and they believe in their faith. And when we look at... how African spirituality is and how Christianity is, it's a contrast there, because we in African spirituality believe our ancestors, we came from them, okay? We came from them, okay? They came before us, and they are always there. They are the ones that we are most like. Matter of fact, what is thought is that we are them returned. We just keep returning, being so much like them, you know? Whether we come like them, you never had a child, you see the child and say, oh my God, this child look like auntie so-and-so. And then when it raises up, now you say, wow, the child really acting like auntie so-and-so, you see? And so we come back looking and acting like our ancestors. And when we have times of that we remember them, you know, because somebody did something like somebody, or you just remember them from a joyful time, you start talking about them and you feel so happy and everything. But we, in the African traditions, we go to the extent on relying on them. As a diviner myself, I know that, like, when I read people, I actually have a communication going on with my ancestors the ancestors of the person I'm reading, me and that person. All of us are in it together. So it's like this four-way conversation, and then I'm in the middle like the conduit, hearing, seeing, translating all of this, speaking everything, and giving the message directly to the person. So, and they, I always say they have the 411 on the 911, okay? This issue that I'm talking about here by the ancestral revenge, I'm talking about the ways in which we look at it because I want people to understand that where, how we could have a block towards our own ancestors, and that block could mean, too, that the ancestors are really angry, okay, because we're not doing anything for them. We turn our backs for them, you know, against them. I know people right now, they worship or they perpetuate. I shouldn't say worship because we don't really worship. We perpetuate and we venerate our ancestors, okay? There are people I know right now, they will skip over their ancestors and go to other people, like, that are not, they're not really their ancestors. Like, you know, I know, like, many African Americans, they like to venerate their martyrs, like, you know, Bob Marley and Marcus Mosiah Garvey and Harriet Tubman and, you know, Stephen Biko and all of these other people, you know. But they forget the simple ones that are closest to them, which are, you know, your grandparents, okay, your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, your great-great-great-grandparents, like that, and go down the line. You forget all those people. And those people are mostly who you are. They are who you are, okay? So now, I'd like to get into, I found a very interesting document, and it caused me to raise my eyebrows a few times, okay? I'm going to say, they figure... The writer of this document, first of all, it's a PDF concerning breaking generational curses, right? And let me see, breaking generational curses. And it was written by one Don Rogers. And, of course, he went into the different biblical verses, right, like Exodus, Deuteronomy, and stuff, to help people see, well, why is it the generational curse has been, how did the generational curse get put on them, right? Okay? So now, he says that generational curses are judgments. Listen, don't confuse it with the ancestral revenge, because that's the opposite extreme, looking at it from an African perspective. Generational curses, he says, are judgments that are passed on to individuals because of sins, right, perpetuated in a family in a number of generations. Okay, now, I know a lot of us, you know, we're into our history from slavery and all of this, and da-da-da, and you know how we suffered so much and this and that. But what happened to the people that made us suffer? Do they seem like they're under a generational curse to you? And this is not a black and white issue. It's about analyzing the concept of generational curse. Okay? I know black people, you know, we've been told we're under generational curses and, you know, because we disobeyed God, we sinned and all of this. So what happened to the people that sinned against us? Why aren't they experiencing generational curses? Okay? Think about that for a minute. So he says generational curses are judgments that are passed on to individuals because of sins perpetuated in a family. In a family, not them, they particularly, you know, like say, our ancestors, quote unquote, basically, quote unquote, according to this, were sinners. So they're cursed. We're cursed, right? That's what it's teaching. Generational curses are similar to original sin curses. You listening to this? The original sin. Now, what is the original sin? To have sex, right? This is the original sin because they can be passed down on a generational basis. Wow, interesting. The original sin against the sin. So women are cursed now. That's what that's saying indirectly. Because women are the ones accused of committing the original sin. Okay? Listen to this now. See? All this bias and all this stuff. And it's anyway, it's interesting. So he further says they differ, though, the original sin and generational curses, even though generational curses is about sin committed by your ancestors. He said they differ in that generational curses do not impose eternal judgment, but original sin imposes eternal judgment. So women are forever cursed. Wow, interesting. This is Christianity, y'all, okay? This is Christianity, okay? You know, I don't know about you, but this is part of the reason why I'm not in it. I ain't with that. Because this, it don't make sense to me. It don't have logic. Okay? It says they bring judgment or bondage during an individual's life, reducing the quality of life. He's explaining what generational curses. Reducing the quality of life until that individual addresses the sin issues that put the curses into place. Now, see that part right there? Until that individual addresses the sin issues that put the curses into place. Now, black people, we have been robbed of everything, it seems like, for countless generations, okay? And what he says here is correct, which I feel this part is correct, until we address the sin issues. Now, what is the sin issues? The sin issues are not with us. The sin issues are the sins committed against us. That's how I feel, okay? I don't know if y'all feeling me on it, okay? We need to address issues like all these atrocities that have taken place against black people even unto today, when black people are seen as poor because what they rightfully worked for or what they can get, they're always being denied a lot of things, okay? And I should say we, because I'm black, right? We're being denied a lot of things because of the color of our skin, okay? Even when we had something, look at Black Wall Street, for example. Look at the Tulsa Massacre. Look at this. Look at that. You understand? Look at all these things. If you go down in history, read the atrocities, it's just disgusting, right? Okay? Many, for instance, black communities, you know, farmers, land taken, stripped of everything. Look at nations, for example. Look at Haiti that had to pay France so much money. For what? For their structures that they put up during slavery, and today are still paying them. Togo, same thing. Benin, same thing. The Congo, the Republic of the Congo, same thing. And many African nations are paying foreign governments billions of dollars, and then we call them poor. See? There also are different programs that are being carried out by these other people, okay, to keep Africa and Africans poor at home and abroad. Okay, listen to that. So when he talks about until that individual addresses the sin issues, we're needing to address the sins that were committed on us. Okay? I'm just going over the generational curses as it pertains to Christianity and what Christian people believe. And I want, and I know there are some Christian-minded people that are listening to this broadcast, and I want you to understand, right, how this is so unfair and judgmental. Who is judging who? Why are we being judged? Okay? Because if you look at anything, it's, oh, the black people have generational curses. Oh, yeah, they have post-slavery trauma. This. Okay? All of that could be true, right? But we're not addressing the issue. The issue, okay? What sin? Who did a sin? Did I do a sin by, you know, what? Okay? I know, too, that in terms of slavery and all of this, that our people, black people, also played a role in it. They played a role in it because they were ignorant, okay, to the ways of the other people. Ignorant. And whatever little trinkets they got could not suffice for the human lives that were taken away, that were lost, that endured and suffered. Never. Okay? So the things they can do if they're, you know, I mean, and the people have to start opening their mouths about this, like, you know, taking back what was stolen from Africa, number one. Stolen in material things I'm talking about, demanding back the reparations, the money, because money runs things now. Tell them you ain't sending no more money, you ain't paying them no more money, you've been done build a whole France all over again. You done build like 10 France with the amount of money they take from Togo and all of these other little places, Haiti and all of them. You know, it took Haiti 100 and something years to pay back. How much it was? $2 billion? That's what they demanded. $2 billion. You see, if it was somebody like me living back then with this mindset that I have now, I'd have said, listen, break every shit down and put it on your fucking boat and take it back. Excuse me, audience, but that would be my thing. Take it. I don't want it. We'll bail our own. See? But no, the government, coonies, or whoever they had there, they just sold out everything to the people, okay? You see? And then you want to say the people are sinful when they pay attention to their ancestors, right? Mm. The next thing he says is, I'm reading the writer's thing. He says, Moses, listen to this, address this issue when the Israelites were preparing to enter the promised land. I'm not a Bible buff, people, okay? So, you know, when you want to come, don't come on. When you come on, please don't come on talking about correct and incorrect in the Bible, because, I don't know. I'm just reading what the guy wrote here. He said he told the new generation that was prepared to enter into that they would not enter unless they dealt with their own personal sin and also the sins of their fathers. Okay? So who, I mean, black people are not the only people that are Christians, but, you know, this is one of the reasons me and Christianity don't gel good. Because don't make me the sinner and the other people are free as hell. What the hell is that? Huh? How are we, do you see the generational curse of white people? I don't think so. You don't see it. Where you see it at? I mean, I'm not saying that there are not no poor white people in the world. I'm not saying there are no people of different races that don't struggle and carry on. But who committed the sins? Who really committed the sins? Okay? So let's go down a little bit. All right. Y'all with me, right? You're listening to True Talks with Ophelia Faye. All righty, righty, dighty. All right. Okay. Yeah. And we're talking about ancestral revenge. So let me go down a little bit. I'm going to tell you what is considered categories of sin, right? He got some categories list here. He says, idolatry. Okay. Now, when they talk about idolatry, we call them our Orisha icons or our Orisha pots, okay, or our voodoo shrines. That's what we call them, okay? So under idolatry, listen, this is what they're calling sin. Under idolatry, he has listed Eastern religions. Oh, my God, he want to condemn Shiva, Shakti, Hanuman, and all of those others, right? Okay? Nah. Oh, my God. Yeah. So Eastern religions is on the list. This one's going to freak everybody out. Meditation. Meditation. Chanting and mantras, like when we chant Ifa verses. When we chant and the resonance of the chants go up to the universe and brings down that divine energy into the Babalawo and the Yanifa, the people who pray to Ifa for resolution, to find the answer, right? That's in divination. That's done when you're doing divination for people. The word divination, they turn it into divination. It's divination, right? But divination has to do with divinity. They are the same word. They derive from the same thing, to be divine, okay? So when you say, okay, I got a divine on it, hey, what is divine? What is divine? Divine is the ultimate thing, the high thing, right? Okay, so he also lists under idolatry, cults, which, you know, Ifa would be to them considered a cult. But we know that Ifa, according to the Yoruba, the Ifa and Orisha tradition is a religion. Why is it a religion? Because there are many facets to it, and there is God. There's an ultimate God that we call Olodumare, right? Okay? Secret orders and lodges, like a bunny, you know, like Palo Mayombe, like the Orisha order, like Ifa order, all of these. And he has on the idolatry material things. So even for you people that don't really have Orisha, but you have like an initiation to Orisha or anything, but you have a shrine, or you like an Orisha, you built a shrine of your own way, you say, oh yeah, let me get an Oshun statue. Let me get a Shango statue. You know, and let me set up my little altar until I can get the money so I can get the real deal, right? So all of that is considered idolatry. When they come in, they go call me a stone idol worshiper because the whole house is full of Orisha inside, outside. Right? Everywhere. Everywhere full of these divinities all around. Anyway, and that don't have nothing to do with me cursing curse words neither, because I tell people point blank, I am not, I'm a priestess, I'm a diviner, I'm a healer, okay? But not a saint. No, 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 I ain't related to them people in Christianity, no way. Anyway, the other two things are idolatry. He has money. listed. Wow. And people. I ain't figured them two out yet. Why money and people? Oh, like when you idolize, like, okay, I get it. Some people idolize money. They love money. Oh, my God, they love money, love money. Oh, they love money. They love money more than anything else, right? So money is considered idolatry. And then he has people like stars and whatnot, idols, you know. We idolize this one and this one and this one. Anyway. Occult is the other category, right? And in the occult, he lists, guess what? I am not an Aquarian because he lists astrology. He lists astrology, fortune telling of various types. You know, that's, you know, I mean, I'm not a fortune teller. I mean, but, you know, I'm a diviner, you know, like fortune telling. Anyway, it tells the future, the past, and the present, yeah? You know, same thing. Ouija boards, right? Seances. Now, we don't call when we venerate our ancestors and praise our ancestors, you know, we don't call it that. We call, you know, we go into our mediumistic identification of spirit guides and ancestors, okay? That's what, you know, that's my own dub for MISA, M-I-S-A. We go into that. Right? And we call them, we get messages, and these messages are so profound because you want to know how in the world, whatever is in that invisible world, know what's going on over here. Like I said, they have the 411 on the 911. Okay? That means the information on whatever emergency you have in. Okay? So then you have dungeons, like you have the games, right? The games like Dungeons and Dragons, you know, the board games and like that new one that's out now. What's that new one called? Where the Squid Games, where the people kill each other and whatnot, you know. But you know, I'm not into that. But yeah, they come. That's all that stuff. Now, for those who are into psychology and you know all those esoteric sciences. He has on the occult hypnosis, self-hypnosis, okay? Yeah, self-hypnosis. He has ESP, extrasensory perception, crystals, you know, people use crystals for energy. Some people do crystal healing and all these type of things. And there's psychic healing. Occult literature, right? Occult literature telling you how to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. If you put the star up there and you put the moon down there or whatever, you know, all of this. And then he said occult beliefs, right? And, of course, Obi, not Obia, like in Caribbean spiritualism, right? Mostly Caribbean people practice Obeah, but guess what? You know, in my studies, I found out that Obeah comes also, is practiced in the Congo, and that's exactly what they call it, Obeah too. They call it Obeah, yeah? So, anyway, he said Obeah, right, is O-O-B-E, which is out of body experiences, attempted experience. Right? Like when you do ayahuasca and then you go travel somewhere, you know, all of that, right? And they say, what else? Spiritism is under the occult. Parapsychology. So, you know, like the people who go study like Egyptian magic, you know, and all of this. And Ifa is, you know, up there in the psychology, buddy. You know, they tell you that Ifa psychology, sometimes you shake your head like, how does this work? But it works, right? So then you got, he has what? Psychic beliefs and practices, right? Like channeling, mind control, you know. And if you talk about some of these things on a minute level where the person, the individual person may be interested in any of these things or doing any of these things. I mean, sure, you could talk about everybody. Everybody everybody want to do, you know their horoscope. Everybody want to get a reading every now and then, see how things going and whatnot. You know, some people have their gifts, and they know that they can, you know, look into the other person and see what's going on and all of that. And most people try to use it for good. Some good, even if it's good, it's to benefit themselves, they use it, right? Okay? So these are some of the things. And, you know, when I talk, and I'm going back, I'm going to shift back to, when they talk about mind control, these are things that our government use and research, okay? The parapsychology, remember, you know, go all the way back to Roswell, you know, because they want to study what's going on the other end up there, you know, what's going on in the other places where the other beings come from. They want to know everything. So they have all the whole spectrum of stuff, you know. They have people from long ago. They were very big on theosophy. And they would go, you know, like, what's her name? The lady, they call her the White Witch, Annie Besant. Annie Besant, she was known as the White Witch, and she wrote a couple books, a few books, actually. She wrote a lot of books on, you know, parapsychology and theosophy and different sciences from different places, India, Africa, all about. And this was from research that she did as an anthropologist, traveling all around the world with all them other big money people, right? The what they call the old money rich people and all of this type of stuff. And they did all of that and study on and gain all that knowledge, and it's in books. She have, you know, it, I don't want to mix her up with the other one, but there are a couple books that are out. They've been out. Isis Unveiled, and I forgot the other one. It's a little book. I'm not right at my library right now, but those books, and look up Annie Besant if you're interested in those things. You know, to show you how even she studied the Christian church. She wrote a book, and I think it's in Isis Unveiled, okay? And I'm missing the name of the other lady is out of my mind right now, and it may be her book instead of Annie Besant, but if you look for the book and look for the name, and you'll find similar information. But in the book, Isis Unveiled, there was a lot of discovery made, and she documented all these things that they found, even things that the atrocities that went on in the churches, you know, with the rape of the nuns, with the burial of aborted babies in the church premises, you know, and all the different rituals that were carried out by the church, particularly the Catholic Church, too, okay? So let me tell you, so AEC, this world we live in is full of amazement and full of things that we don't know anything about, invisible forces that affect us, and who better to cling to than our ancestors who can steer us and guide us and give us the 411, even about what's going on over there on the other side of the spectrum in the invisible world, okay? Imagine if you can know something bad is coming before it comes and tap and be able to tap into it to prevent it from happening, okay? Imagine if, you know, like how some people say, oh, boy, I got a dream. My ancestors give me some numbers. Let me go play. And next thing you know, they win. Things like that. You understand me? So, you know, but everything is synchronized. I always say everything is in divine order, you know, everything goes according to how it goes. So I don't want to get away from our ancestral revenge part in our up-to-date life, because many of us are going through so many millions, you know, with our youth, okay? And I'm talking particularly to black people, because black people, there's so many poor people, and people are deliberately being poor. I mean, being poor because, I'm sorry, deliberately being made to be poor, okay? Because you're working, right? Let me give you a good example. You're working, right? And you get paid X amount of dollars. But there's some law somewhere that says your landlord could raise your rent. But your pay is not getting raised, you know? You're not getting raised. Your pay is not getting raised. You know, you work these menial jobs, these jobs that they don't ever seem to pay enough money to you know, for you to really live a good quality of life like how you think you should, right? So you work and work and work and work, and every minute you look around, it's more cost. More this. So you either have to find yourself in trying to increase your pay somehow, right? You know, or you just start looking, your quality of life become less because you can't live above your means, okay? You want to live in a mansion, but, you know, the mansion costs X amount of money, you know, to whatever it is, a month or whatever, and you can't do it. So now you go where? You got to go live down in the ghetto where all the problems are, the troubles and everything, and make it there. You see what I mean? Because you don't have the means to do it anywhere else. You see? So let me go on. You guys, I hope you're with me. Feel free to interrupt me and ask a question if you want. If you want to do that, you press 1, okay? And we will we'll pick up on you on the dial, right? Okay? So now, let's continue our list now. He goes on to witchcraft. And he's putting witchcraft and Satanism in the same category. Now, you know, that witchcraft word is very widely abused. Okay, I heard somebody said witchcraft, like W-I-T-H, craft, meaning that you know craft, right? And the witch word, you know, everyone, you know, agrees that it's the meaning of it is wise woman. Yeah, okay, so the woman cannot be wise because then she's going to be a witch, right? So under witchcraft and Satanism, he has here incantations, spells, dedications, and rituals. Oh, my God. Dad, don't we ritualize when we brush our teeth every day? Oh, my God. Don't we ritualize going to take a dump in the toilet? Don't we ritualize taking a shower? Huh? Don't we ritualize going to people's job every day if you want to get paid? What are you talking about? Rituals. Incantation spells, dedications, rituals. Like, you know, that's what people say, oh, you're doing rituals to the dead people. When we cook first food in the house, first share of food goes to the ancestors, okay? We give them what we eat. We put it down there. Yeah, we having, we having eggs, you know, egg, toast, bread, and whatever for breakfast. You know, we're having a little tomato, whatever we have in different, whatever we're having, you know, and sometimes we cook food that we know they love to eat when they were alive, those that we knew that lived, and we knew them while they were alive. We cooked their food. You know, my mom likes salt fish and fungi. She loves kalaloo, you know. She likes steamed fish and dumpling, you know, things like that, right? You know, green banana and, you know, fried planted peas and rice, you know, stewed chicken or whatever, you know. And, you know, some people like, you know, even the herbal pot, you know, they are, you know, we get a ital, we eat that, we eat this, we eat all kind of stuff. And we put it there for our ancestors. Okay? So here you go. Under witchcraft and Satanism, you have incantations, spells, dedications. Wow. Isn't that what they do in the church every Sunday? They go to the church, right? And it's, let me tell you about the Catholic Church, because, you know, I kind of raised up in between the Catholic and Anglican Church. They have the same kind of rituals and everything. So you go there, and, you know, when you go in, you dip your hand in the holy water. You make the sign of the cross, right? You put on your veil on your head. You know, you have your little white veil on your head. If you're a woman, get your little veil, right? And you go, when you go to the bench, you know, you got to pivot first, make another sign of the cross, and then go sit down and kneel down, right? What is that? Okay? Okay? Then they have the different litanies of prayers that they say. What is that dedication? They even pray for the dead in the church, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do that for a fee. Mm-hmm. So we got ritual abuse. Okay, ritual abuse. Mm-hmm. This is on the witchcraft and Satanism. Ritual abuse, blasphemy, mockery, literature. Oh, he was just searching for words to put. Beliefs, sacrifices, perversions, like sacrifices. Hmm. And then he goes into magic, Santeria, voodoo, Wicca, powwow healing. Wow, he gone all to the Indians and all, the Native Americans. Yeah, he gone all to them, yeah. Powwow healing, witchcraft, Pennsylvania Dutch witchcraft, and Maloke, Italian witchcraft, and then he got Druidism, Celtic witchcraft. Oh, buddy, so you got a witchcraft. Everybody doing witchcraft. Then he goes down to sexual sins, okay? Like fornication, adultery, pornography, rape, incest, lust, masturbation, homosexuality, abortion, bestiality, pedophilia, exhibitionism, abuse, fantasy, and other perversions. Okay, see all of that right there, buddy. Sexual sins. Oh, yeah. So you just need to lie down, make babies. Okay. Anyway, drug addictions. You go to illegal drugs, and there's a list. Anyway, he says alcohol abuse, smoking, abuse of body, smoking, like if you smoke cigarettes or tobacco, it's abuse of the body. And he has prescription drug dependency. Oh, boy, people want oxycodone and all the things that, you know, make them feel good and don't feel no pain. And, of course, food dependency. He has all of that. Then he goes into the belief in Satan's lies. Okay, I am not. And he's got it. He's like regarding self-image and regarding God, regarding religious beliefs, regarding people, regarding behavior. So, well, he didn't list what Satan's lies are, but down below he has regarding world standards and philosophies. He says fear is the next one. There's the next sin. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of rejection, miscellaneous fears, and this like anxiety, worry, despair, hopelessness. I mean, come on now. Are we not human? Are we not under a lot of stress and pressure, you know, just to live, you know, okay? We're under a lot of pressure. So people are going to have anxiety. People are going to worry. People are going to despair. Some people even feel like it's hopeless, and they want to check out of here. You know what I mean? So then he has unbelief, lack of trust. Uh-huh. Okay, trust in who? That Jesus Christ is going to come on the chariot and join a rapture and take you up. And all this the time people don't wait on Jesus to come, guess what happened? They're done dead and gone now. There ain't going to be none of the 144,000. Wow, they sound like they got a depopulation agenda too. Anyway, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but you know. This is very funny to me. Anyway, so he goes without deceit and dishonesty, lying, stealing, exaggeration. Oh, boy, I tell you, if you could find one person that don't lie and never told a lie, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. Because people, these times, people lie out of necessity, you know. Anyway, pride, self-righteousness, he says. Self-focus, vanity, arrogance, okay? I think I've fallen in all of these categories. You know, I'm vain, I'm arrogant sometimes, I'm self-focused sometimes, and, you know, self-righteous sometimes. You know, I say self-righteous, being self-righteous is not selfishness. I'm not selfish. Anyway, rebellion. Disobedience, disrespect, self-will, desire to be in control, stubbornness. It goes into anger, hatred, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. We got that going on galore because of all the wrong things that are people feel, man. People feel. When somebody does something wrong to you, you know, you have no... I mean, depend on the level. Like, I don't know how come, like, with all the things that have been done to the people who have experienced, quote-unquote, generational curses, why is it that nobody's hate non-Christianity like that? You know, I'm like, you know, I don't really hate the people. But the whole concept, I got to die and go to heaven in Jesus' name in order to be saved. I can't live here on earth and live good. It's so contradictory when God says he created the world and the fullness thereof for who? Man, right? Which is mankind, period. So, you know, I'm confused. I ever been confused sometimes I was a young girl, yeah? You know, so I ain't getting me. Ain't getting me at all. So then, you know, so all these feelings that come out from being angry, and we have a lot of angry people now. People are angry because they can't get on a plane when they want to because they didn't take the COVID shot. You know, people are angry because they want to go here and they can't go, you know, because they have to be vaccinated. And people are like, what the hell? You know, who died and made you God telling you, I got to take a vaccine. No. Anyway, hatred, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, rage, revenge, slander, gossip, critical judgment, blame shifting, prejudice, bigotry, malice, all of this, you got it, you know. You know. Oh, my God. Guess what I just saw? On the list, he has alternative medicine. See, I'm done. I am a total sinner. I confess. I'm a sinner because I'm an alternative medicine person. From the time I've been little, I've been knowing about alternative medicine. Oh, my God. Anyway, he has wishing death for yourself and others. Man, what the hell are those elite people doing right now? What's going on? People dropping like flies. You tell me somebody didn't wish that out there? Anyway, they just didn't wish it. They put it into effect. Okay? And then they got violent acts like attempted suicide, abuse, and murder. Right? Vulgar and abusive language. I'm like, you know, what a crock of shit is this? This is that's what I'm thinking right now. But on the real people, let me just get you alternative medicine, and then we can go, right? Because, oh, my God, he got a list here is beyond me. I really got to go down to the very last one. So we got, after alternative medicine, regarding content of messages in music, certain kind of music, performers, lifestyle, occult Satanism, sexual rebellion, drug-oriented, focus on that type of music. That's what he's talking about. And then he has alternative medicine. This is what he called it, with roots. Listen to this. I mean, everybody in the islands know about bush tea and stuff like that. They want tea to take. What bush to pick if you have, you know, you got pain. Could a bush, if you got pain in your body, dry it out of your body, you know, you got, you know, worry wine, you know, all of this thing here to you know, to clean out your colon and everything. You know, I mean, come on now. He got alternative medicine with roots. I'm like, yo, I know you're a sinner too. Well, what's his name? Don, whatever. He know he's a sinner. Anyway, alternative medicine with roots. And these days, guess what? A lot of people are turning to alternative medicine to help them get over the COVID strains. A lot of people, the alternative medicine people are racking up, making buku dollars, but not more than the people who took the vaccine out. Never, ever. Anyway, the vaccines are still... You're still susceptible to the COVID, even though you took the vaccine. I'm sorry, people, but that's the truth. Anyway, so it says, alternative medicine with roots in false religious beliefs, what? Or with psychic occult influences, what? Like in our tradition, in our African tradition, you know, we praise the herbs, you know. We praise them. We hold them up to the I present them to Olodumare. We praise them. We put our breath of life on the plant before we even pick the leaf. Oh, my God, give me a break, okay? He says we have Reiki, therapeutic touch. Imagine. Meditation techniques, emptying of the mind. Wow. Transcendental meditation, sonopuncture, he got everything there, iridology. So what, you're supposed to just do lay hands on people and talk about your healed in the name of Jesus? No, come on now. What happened to the fullness thereof? What happened to that? And some people just like to be blind dummies, you know. Anyway, we have chromotherapy, sound therapy, kinesiology, radionics, astrologic medicine, autonomy, bioenergetics, biofeedback. Wow, all the stuff they do in the hospital, like, there's something wrong with you, you know. I mean, the traditional, they condemning Chinese medicines, like the Qigong. You know, I need right now one of them Chinese medicines to stop me from eating sweets. Yeah, I wish somebody, if anybody know it, just hook me up, let me get, you know, so I can get rid of my sweet cravings, yeah? Psychic diagnosis and psychic healing. Wow. This guy's trying to put me out of business. Look at this. Anyway, the last topic he has here, the last section is called unscriptural seeking of spiritual gifts or spiritual experience. So all of you people that are seeking to get to know the African spirituality, Christians are against that. Well, not Christians, but Christianity. Because Christians do whatever, because a lot of them come through the back door, come get a reading. Okay? When Jesus ain't answering them. Okay? Jesus ain't answering, God ain't answering, and they come get a reading. Okay? Let me tell you. And normally in because they want to join either. They want to know how to do something to somebody else or get something for themselves. You understand? So he called it priming the pump to receive tongues. Wow. Accepting any personal experience without testing it by the word of God. You see, now this reminds me, right, of when I read, and I think I discussed it in a live, when I read the Ifa rules about divination and possession, like when the spirit possesses you and starts to speak, like what happens to me when I'm doing readings for people, okay? My ancestral spirit comes in and start talking in tongues, start talking a different language. But it's a decoded language, a language that I can understand, right? And then I translate and tell the people. So when I read this, and the guy, too, that wrote this, he comes from a Christian background. Matter of fact, he was the guy. His name is Crowder, right? It's Crowder, yes. And he wrote these books called Ifism. And the reason how he got into Ifa, which is African spirituality, he got into Ifa because he wanted to disprove Ifa methods as being inferior to Christianity. He wanted to disprove Ifa as a religion to be inferior to Christianity. So he joined the order of Ifa. And later found out that Ifa was superior. That was his conclusion, right? So he wrote all of these books about Ifa. But a lot of the Christian dogma is in there. So anyway, it made me question what he said because I know that a lot of the priests that are into Ifa, that divine with Ifa, they said that is a direct link where they go through certain rituals and ceremonies to chants and all these things to bring down that divine essence to speak through the signs, what we call odus, right? And there's no need for possession by any other spirit. So how he said it was like a Christian way, like, okay, Ifa forbids you to get possessed by any other spirit than him, right? Okay? So now this guy is saying the same thing, more or less, accepting any personal experience without testing it by the word of God, receiving personal prophecies without testing them and having them confirmed by God and the body of Christ. What do I have to drink, the blood and eat the flesh in order to... Amen. What? Listen here. Oh, my goodness. You know what? This is only a guide to aid you in preparing your sin list. That's what he says. It is not comprehensive. Not every sin is listed. And whatever is applicable to your situation, you know what? We all are sinners, and what they say in that Bible, we all fall short of the glory of God. Yes, yes, okay, and we always going to fall short of the glory of God, because we are not gods, right, in that respect. We're living, we're having, well, let me retract that. We are spirits, okay, heavenly spirits, having an earthly experience in a human body. Okay? That's what we are. And when we finish with experience, we're going back to where we came from. Okay? So now, oh, buddy, everybody listening, nobody trying to ask any questions so far. So the ancestral events from an Afrocentric viewpoint is that we don't, you know how many people don't know their, not even their grandparents' names or anything. Okay, and I'm not holding that against them. It could be because of the way they were brought up, you know, and I could say very clearly, a lot of us, the majority of us, were exposed to Christianity more than any other religion. Mm-hmm. Okay? A lot of us were exposed to Christianity more than any other religion. So we have these Christian upbringing, these Christian indoctrinations embedded in us, you know, where it would make us, you know, not want to even venerate, you know, talking about Jesus. Jesus this and Jesus that. Jesus has to have been a pure spirit. Jesus could not be a man, right? If that's the case, then all of us are, you know, I think Jesus said that too. He said, y'all, we all are sons and daughters of God, right? Right? I mean, I don't know, you know. Like I said, I'm not versed in it. You know, I just know only little bits and pieces. And, you know, the parts that make sense to me, right? Okay? But how can you not, how can you want to just forget after your mama, your papa is dead, you know? You know, even some of us, our children are dead, you know? Okay, people close to us, they're gone. And whether they were good people or bad people, I mean, mostly people don't see their loved ones as bad people. They may have had bad habits and all of these things. And this is something that some of the people, too, wrestle with when it comes to ancestral veneration and perpetuation. They want to separate the good ancestors from the bad ones, right? Not knowing that we have a certain degree of power as a living human being, right, to elevate the spirit of those, even those that were bad or had done bad things in life. Because, you know, nobody's totally good and nobody's totally bad. And then we have those ancestors who were, they had different ailments. They had, some of them had mental illnesses, some of them, you know, and we, through generations, we do inherit because of our genes, okay? We do inherit, okay? Within, it's ingrained in our DNA. Some of these mannerisms, you know, of our ancestors that make us a type of people, quote-unquote, you know, a type of people. Like, you know, my people in the islands, you know, how can I describe my people? My people, you know, they're like, in a nutshell, don't mess with them. They good with you so long as you good with them. But the minute you mess with them, they turn into like wild cannibalistic Indians. I mean, they go for the jugular vein, you know, they cut you. They, you know, and I'm saying it like that because, you know, it's like you see a sleeping dog. You see the dog like, oh, cool and everything. And that's how my people are. They're cool. You know, when they speak, they're sing-songy. They talk like they're singing, you know, type of thing, you know. And, but then here you go. You see the dog taking a rest, and you go mash on the dog too, just to see if you're gonna wake the dog. You don't want to leave the dog sleeping. Then when the dog wake up now, guess what the dog gonna do to you? Try to bite your foot off. Yes, you know, and that's the best way for me to explain, you know, in a nutshell how my people are. They're generally very nice people. Okay, but they don't like, you know, if you do anything to harm them, because they're not trying to harm you first. But if you do something against them, then boom, you know, then boom. So they're not trying to take anything from you. They just don't want you to come and take anything from them. Okay? All right? So, all right, people. Okay, y'all with me? Y'all with me? Okay. I need somebody to raise their hand. And let's see if you're with me, yes or no. Okay? Because, I don't know, I think my battery was going dry. I didn't even realize it. Oh, my goodness, I just plugged it in. Oh, my God, I got like, oh, my God, I hope it don't go off. Anyway, so you're listening to True Talks with Ofea Faith. Did I see a hand raise here? Oh, wow. I love y'all. Hand raise, okay. All right. 340, you're on the air with True Talks.
Good evening and blessings for the new year for everybody. I hope you all are keeping healthy and blessed and happy and youthful and joyful in your heart, because that's what is needed right now in the world, because so many people are being manipulated by the elements. You know, they're being selfish. They're not being compassionate, not even loving to their own blood. And they're not reaching out and forming a big community so we could survive this terror that was unleashed on the earth on us. And it has a lot of things to do with not respecting each other, whether you're young, old, middle-aged, and different, a baby, because out of the mouth of the youth and suckling, there's wisdom. Sometimes that we adults get to be a certain age, we get blinded, and sometimes a youth might come along and say, well, listen, this is what's going on, you know. You check this, and you say, because the youth is young, they know what they're talking about, but that's a lie.
I agree with you. You know, I have a lot of young people around me, and they have their way of looking at things, and I see the sense in them, the sense in what they're telling me, you know, all the time. I see it, you know. Makes me very proud.
They have their role to play. And then the person that's out there and you say they're mad, but when you talk to them, they'll tell you some profound truths that will put you in your place. But you're calling them crazy, but they're not. And not in the sense, you know, they have their faculty.
Half the time, not cutting you off, but half the time when people are like that, it's an ancestral issue. It's an issue from their ancestors, not because it's a curse for them or anything like that, but you go to the doctor and then the doctor can't find out, well, why they're like that. You see what I mean?
It's true.
You know?
It's true.
But it has to be something to be done with their ancestors. Like what the young man was speaking about in the post I read first, which is about, you know, admitting that, you know, acknowledging that you were not paying attention to your ancestors. And now you're ready to pay attention, you know.
And a lot of people are finding right now, some of them are, you know, going to that one side, and the rest are coming into their spirituality, getting ready to accept their mantles, to do the work that Uludumari, the Most High, put them on earth to do.
Ashe, I see a lot of that too. I see a lot of that. Like, a lot of people are coming into their what we call gifts, you see. And these things, why I read the information on the Christianity, how they're looking at it, because it's kind of contrary to when you start expressing your own divine self, the divinity in yourself, your spirituality, and being connected with different things in the world, like the unseen, for example, then it, you're called, you know, they call that devil worship and all of this type of thing, you know? So, you know, you could tell from the things that I was reading out that a lot of these things people do just for their own well-being. They do them not because they're into worshiping Satan or anything. Like, you know, I mean, you know, people take Chinese medicine. That's considered, you know, herbal medicine. People have their gifts from their ancestors, like me. I was told that through divination, that I didn't need to become a priestess in order to know how to read people, that was a gift on the sides of my mother's and my grandmother's, right? Okay? So, you know, so these are the type of things. These are the type of things. I hear you, you know, and it's really, we really need to have more compassion for each other, love, and show more respect, especially to the young people, okay, and talk to them more, because right now a lot of young people are, you know, they seem like they can't talk to their parents, they can't talk to their adults in their life, or the people who are older than them, they figure they don't understand, you see?
Yes.
But a lot of them, on the other hand, are coming into their spirituality and they're looking for guidance, yeah?
Yes, and that's our form duty.
Ashe.
To teach them the way.
Ashe.
So they could survive.
Mm-hmm. Ashe.
And that means
yes.
Young people
yes.
got to open up their minds to the things that they call old-fashioned and out of date and stuff, because just now they will have to go back to these things in order to survive.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying, you sound like a repeat, because I'm hearing this from a lot of different people. You know, I'm hearing this from a lot of different people who are, you know, looking at the problems that we're having and trying to find a way to solve them. And so, you know, people got to go back to the roots. That's just like our entry song. Let's go back to the roots.
Yeah.
Back to the roots. You see? Even like using
yes.
the medicines and stuff. So a lot of people, for example, you know, he said natural medicine is one of those taboo things in Christianity.
Yes.
But
the thing is, but
a lot of people, they cut out the natural things. These are the ways of their ancestors, what the ancestors taught them how to do in order
yes.
to get over certain malaise. Use synthetic drugs, and then the synthetic drugs do a number on them. You know, it don't,
yeah.
you know, it do more harm than good. Yeah, it clear one
something.
Thing, but then
yeah.
it damage so many other things.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. now that
so
this
mm-hmm.
situation is upon us, we got to get more,
mm-hmm.
we got to be ready, like, right now.
I hear you. And I know the listening
yeah.
audience is hearing you. So
it's no more waiting.
I got some. Say that again.
It's no more waiting time. It's now. We have to do it now.
Mhm. Mhm.
So.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Mhm. It's well heard. Trust me, it's well heard. Thank you. Mhm. All right. That was a strong message, buddy. Area code 773. You're on the air. It's your talks.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Yeah, this is Leslie Page
yes.
Piper. I so appreciate this gathering, and the thoughts that are being shared are very profound and you know, realistic, relevant to what's going on now. And I just want to thank you for having
mm-hmm.
me. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm
you're welcome.
Continue
mm-hmm.
to listen and learn and. And then as I feel that I have something that I would like to add to bring to further connect us and help us grow where we should be, that I will do so. Right now I'm listening and enjoying what I'm hearing.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Happy New Year to you. Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to everyone.
I say Happy New Year to everybody online. I think that's what she was saying. Mm-hmm. Okay, area code 786. You're on the air, 786. Okay, 786, no comment. Okay, all right. Let me put you back on hold. Do you have your phone on mute, 786? All right. I'm going to put you back on mute if you want. You can raise your hand again. All right. Okay. So you've been listening to True Talks with Ophelia Faye, and our topic is ancestral revenge. And I feel it's a true thing. You know, I actually felt it very strongly for a few years now that, you know, because we turned away from our ancestral ways, why we meet so many different milieus, especially as communities, you know, where there's drugs, a lot of drug use, there's gun violence, you know, murder, you know, rape, and, you know, all of these things that are going on. I mean, and as you can see, it's not just happening in, you know, one place. It's happening just about every place. It's happening in on the continent of Africa. Crazy is happening there. And you know, it's interesting when one or two people say something, you know, and that's good and well to have one or two people, you know, say something. But when the majority of people just stay and, you know, keep their mouths closed and don't say anything, don't do nothing about it, don't, you know, acknowledge it even, you know, a lot of people still thinking in this way, like you can't see that if you're doing something one way and it doesn't work, it's not working, that you should try something different. You know, that's it. You know, try something different if you see that this is not working. Okay? You know, I did that when it came to Christianity. Christianity never worked for me. It never worked for me because there's too many loose ends, too many, you know, making you feel like, even the word sin, making you feel like you are the worst person in the world. You're a sinner and you're going to go to hell and burn. What is that? I'm like, wow, why the hell God want to burn me? You know what I mean? No. And then when you look at the whole system, the systems that we live under, you see, and it's so sad to think that other human beings, that they're the ones created this mess, you know, and we basically allow them to do these things, atrocities, and, you know, look at the issue that's facing us right now, where, you know, with the different things that people who take, you know, you cannot sue the government, the makers or anything who's administering these drugs. You cannot sue them, right? If something goes wrong, if you're ill, if you become permanently damaged, if you die even, you can't, you know, so that's just like, okay. And then here it is now. We put so much, we forget our common sense. We forget to, like, you know, use our own authority, our freedom, our God-given freedom, right? Okay? Our God-given freedom of choice, to choose. Even that, you know, they're wanting to take away your ability to choose. Okay, you know, and people are going along with this because out of what, fear, you know, different things, fear, you know, and when we, and guess what, the most important thing, I read something really profound somebody wrote on Facebook. In a nutshell, they were saying that all the things that we want in life, right? all the things we want. We work hard. We backstab. We do all kind of things to get these things, and then we die. We die, and after a while, in 100 years, nobody even going to remember who the hell you were. Nobody going to remember you, okay? The only good thing right now you can do is when people are now, do whatever good you can do for somebody right now. Whatever good you can do for somebody right now, just do it, okay? Help each other, you know, respect each other, you know, instead of trying to tear each other down. You know, I just, not too long ago, I'm in a community of priests. I have a group on Facebook called Ifa Orisha Egun Talks, okay? And it's, basically the majority of the people in the group are priests initiated into the order of either Ifa or Orisha or both, and other African spiritual systems as well. And, you know, we talk about all, you know, the different things that go on within our system. So, you know, and people post, you know, so I post one of my spiritual initiations and my induction into the spiritual order, you know, the Voodoo Federation of Togo and Benin, West Africa. So I post my certificate, you know, up there. And, you know, one or two people click like on it, you know. And I said to myself, as a matter of fact, I posted on there. I said, it is very interesting how if something bad happens, people just jump on the bandwagon and start putting in their 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 cents about this situation. But when somebody posts something good, an achievement within our tradition, the congratulations are not forthcoming, okay? Where are the congratulations at? You know, even a like, just a little click button, boom. Where is it? No, because people are harboring resentments, jealousies, envy, and all of these type of things. All of these things are spiritual things. Okay, they generate inside of us, and we have to get to the point where we can get over all of these malaise and defeat them, defeat the anger, defeat the jealousy, defeat the envy, defeat the hatred, defeat all of these things, and work together with other people. Try to support each other, show support of the other person's efforts. You know, I make it my business to do that. Even, you know, I don't have to be your friend, like really know you, but I know you're in my order. And when you're in my order and I see that you've done something, I give you a congratulations. Yeah, I congratulate you because you are, you know, moving along in your destiny towards, you know, doing something spiritual that benefits not only you, but it benefits other people, okay? Because most people, when they get these certificates or they receive an Orisha, some of these Orishas or these deities, whether it's a Voodoo, a Mami Wata, whatever, they're not just for the person. They are for, they used to help other people, okay? These are not what we call ancestral ways. Because all of this, the African spirituality, is based on first and foremost ancestral reverence, okay? Ancestral reverence, honoring the ancestors who came before us, who used to do the same thing, okay? And there's like a hierarchy of order, right? For us to, you know, adhere to, that's why we never can... we never are supposed to skip over our ancestors and start venerating other people's gods and heroes, okay? Your ancestors is always your heroes, especially I think that every African-American that's living today, that is a descendant of anybody who went through slavery, should be everything that they fought for with their blood, sweat, and tears, even their lives, should never, ever forget and be proud to partake of everything that they died for, right? Okay? Which is like freedom, you know, freedom to that whatever degree, but it was freedom from servitude, bondage, and slavery. Okay? And people, you know, they, you know, like education, you know. People, I remember finding out years ago when women were not allowed to read, and I'm talking about white women, black women, any kind of woman, period. When they finally got the go-ahead to read, this is the white women in the States, got the go-ahead to read. The slave women in the Virgin Islands where I'm from were already reading. Okay? They did it in secret, but they were already reading. Okay? You see? So, you know, so when we talk about the things that, you know, of your that your ancestors did, imagine you could have gotten killed for reading a book, okay? And so many people nowadays, they don't even want to read nothing, you know? And I said, that's why a lot of the thievery goes on in the world, because it's all written on ink and paper, and then it becomes a law, a statute, a clause, a this, a that, an amendment, anything to manipulate how things go. And once it's written down on paper and it's stamped with some stamp by who stamped it, then it becomes law, even though it may be something that is wrong, right? It's wrong. And this is the life we're living in. These are the things that we need to pay attention to and speak up on, you know, in terms of having a better quality of life, okay? Nobody should tell you not to venerate your ancestors. Nobody should tell you not to perpetuate your ancestors. Nobody should tell you how in the world, as a black person, are you thinking venerating your ancestors is devil worship? How did you equate that? Have you ever even seen the devil? What is the devil? What is that? Okay? If hell really existed, even all those ancestors that passed, that they had to kill or be killed, right? And we don't want that because they killed somebody. We don't want to venerate them because they killed somebody. Okay? But yet still they're hanging around, okay, enjoying the offerings you put out for them. Okay? Because then you see them, they visit you in dreams, they smile at you, whatever they're doing to indicate that they are pleased with you, right? So how are you now going to demonize them and turn them into a devil? Okay? I never understood that. I never understood that. After all they did for you, they may have killed because they had to kill in order for you to be here. Mm-hmm. They endured. They were humiliated. They suffered the worst. They treated worse than animals, right? But all of that was so you can be here. They act dumb. They act stupid because even they were suppressed into being like that, not knowing. So even we forgive them, those who, you know, sold the land for a bag of rice, acres and acres to the people, the educated people who know they were doing something bad, okay? Like Christopher Columbus, that guy that, you know, sold the Indians, gave the Indians infected blankets, right? In exchange for land and all the other good things they had. Yeah, imagine, okay? And these, you know, people, open your eyes and realize, you know, be wise, you know, okay? Your ancestors are the key to everything, number one, especially if you call yourself practicing African spiritualism or African religion, you know, everything come off of the ancestors, right? Now the backs of the ancestors, okay? So if nobody else has their hand raised, okay, we're going to, oh, boy, I think we got a few people listening. Oh, at least come on and say Happy New Year or something. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we got so many people. Hello? I opened your line. Are you ready to speak now? No hints? No introduction? Okay. All right. Be shy. No problem. Okay. I'm going to click, you know, the line just to hear your voice. This is area code 201. You're on the air.
Hello, Mama.
Any comments?
Happy New Year. Hello.
Okay. Happy New Year to you too. Okay.
Glad you're
on.
Glad to be back.
Say that again.
I say I'm glad to see you back on Blog Talk Radio. I miss you, and I'm just so happy that you're back.
Oh wow! Thank you so much. Yeah, we're gonna be doing it. You know, I have to be ill in order not to do it. So as long as I'm up and healthy, that's my one of my resolutions. So I'm gonna be doing it every Sunday. Yep. All right.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Yes, yes.
Love to the family. That's right. All right, area code 917. You're on the air. 917. Okay, I can't hear nothing. I'm hearing. Okay, wishing you a happy new year, 917. And thank you for tuning in with us. Okay. All right. We got a whole party going on back there. Okay, area code 340.
Hey.
Hi there. Happy New Year to you. Okay, all righty-dighty. Wishing you well, okay? Thank you for tuning in. Okay. Area code 786. You're on the air at True Talk to the FFA. Okay, people are so shy. Happy New Year, and thank you for tuning in. Okay, area code 340. Let me see here. 340. You're on the air. Happy New Year to you. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, 340. Alrighty, Daddy. All right, 786. You're on the air. Thank you for tuning in. Happy New Year to you. All right, everybody keeping quiet. All right, so, and nobody have any questions, but this is our show. We had like 10 minutes to winding down to our time. I know that we don't want our ancestors to beat us up, okay? I mean, I know a lot of us, even if it's not happening to us directly, we know of people, so much malaise that they're having. Some people go to church and try to see if God is going to answer their prayer and make something happen for them to get them out of a bad situation into a better situation. And it just ain't happening. And when we talk about ancestral revenge, we talk about, like, you know, the ancestors are saying, like, wait a minute, how are you cursing us How are you putting us down for somebody else? It's just like when the people say, you know, you got to turn away from everything to go to God, okay? But nobody never see God. God didn't bring you into the world here. God didn't do that. You know, let me say this. I don't mean to sound blasphemous, right? But, you know, in Yoruba thought, it says that, this is African spirituality, it says that when we are pure spirit in heaven, right? We are pure spirit in heaven. And we want to become now a human being and have the earthly experience. We actually choose our destiny. We go and we sit at the feet of God. We sit there and we say, God, I want to be born. I want to be born in this place. I want these parents. I want these siblings. I want, you know, whatever. I want to be this person in life. I want to have this experience in life. Okay? We say all of it. And all God does, you know, like, okay, yeah, nod, God. So, yeah, okay, all right, my child, go, you know? Like, you know, God gave the okay. But once you sit there and you talk, you're okay, you know, ain't nobody stopping you. God ain't stopping you. But there is also what we call a weakness. And the weakness to creation we call Oromila. Oromila is synonymous with what we call the whole tradition of Ifa, which to me is the order of diviners, where people, you know, they work towards helping people to understand their own destiny, to understand their relationship with other people spiritually, and to work helping these people, okay, to settle all the nillies in their life. Like, for instance, they say, so we come to earth now, right? We jump into the stomach of our mothers. And when we jump into the stomach of our mothers, we stay in there 9 months in the darkness, right? And then when it's time to be born, we fight to come out. It says during that fight process, we forget all the things that we said we would do. We forget it. And then we come not being able to communicate where other people can understand us. I mean, because I really think babies can, they already have their consciousness in them already. And they, if they only could speak where we could understand them, then we'll know that what they're about. But it takes time for us to do that, right? So then guess what? Our mother, fathers, and anybody around us, they all implement whatever they've learned in the whole process, right? Up to the age they are, they implement all of that on us, right? So by implementing that on us now, we further forget what we were, what we said we would do. It's not until you find yourself back at the foot of Oromila via one of his diviners, via one of the priests that knows, that can pull the essence down and pull down that divine essence that I spoke about earlier called Ella, that can pull Ella down and find out, well, at that time when you were born, what was the sign that the witness wrote down in the book, right, that said what you would be doing, okay, who you are. So then that happens. You pull it down, and then you begin to like, oh, my God, that's why a lot of people are going to African spirituality now, because they want to know. Listen, man, listen, I'm tired of running around in circles with my tail, you know, like I'm chasing my own tail and can't figure my life out, okay? So you go to Ifa, or you get a destiny, what we call a destiny reading from Ifa, the first hand of Ifa, okay? But you know you need two hands. If that Ifa say you need two hands, you can manage it one hand, but if you need two hands, Ifa will tell you you need two hands to manage, right? But you go to Ifa and you find out, oh, wow, what? My sign say, what? My sign say, what? There's nowhere in the world that I should go and not be successful. But why is it that I was so successful in everything else? Okay, because you didn't know that. You didn't know the things to do. You didn't know the things, the do's and don'ts of how to be successful, because your sign also tells you these things. You didn't do the proper Ebo. The Ebo is the ritual or the things that you know you should do, okay, to say thank you, right? That's like your ancestor. Why do you think we do reverence to them? We do reverence to them because we're thanking them. We're thanking them for everything they've been through that made it possible for you to be here. Because guess what? If you were a spirit and then you're looking for you and they were like, listen, I don't want to, You say, well, wait, I want so-and-so to be my mom, but where is she? You understand? Okay? So these are the things that we do, you know, in order to align ourselves with our ancestors, align ourselves with our spiritual obligations and all the things in our destiny that we want to so badly know about, okay? So this is where we are, people. This is where we are, okay? I really want you all to have a great time, you know, for the year, and stay out of trouble, but at least try to be respectful to each other. Try to be kind to other people, okay? All right? You know, even, you know, don't care what persuasion they are. It could be Christian, Muslim, whatever, whatever. You try to be kind, okay? But be firm within your own convictions, what you feel is right, especially if you look at it from a common sense point of view. Like, okay, these people brought me in the way. You mean I can't even light a candle for them? Well, what are you talking about? But you go in the Catholic Church, you light candles to Mother Mary, Jesus, and everybody else, right? You see what I'm talking about? Okay? That's just like the people that they have the nice furniture, right, and the nice dishes in the showcase, and they only use them when company come. The regular people in the house can't use them. So you're not honoring yourself, but you're honoring the stranger. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the ways. That's the ways. These are things that we're taught to do that is, I think, is very backwards, okay? So thank you all for listening to True Talks with Afeya Faye. And our next program next week, Sunday, is going to be about how you get over when somebody put a spell on you, what you need to do. So we're going to be talking about spells and spiritual things that people do that are bad, the control of the people, and that would be our next topic. Okay, thank you so much for listening, and love you all, and do enjoy yourselves, okay?
Let's go back to the roots. I want to go back to the roots. Let's get back to the roots.
Yeah, I told you, we don't die, we multiply.
Yeah.
Let me introduce to you.